Chumpage on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning. Are you yelling? Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. And it's Friday, so God only knows what we're going to do today, since it's almost Christmas, okay? It is almost...
Happy holidays.
It's 2 weeks from Christmas.
Yeah, I'm already...
We might as well start our Christmas shows.
I've got a preset on my car, listening to the holiday stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to 99.1 and Dana Tyson, but I'd have a holiday channel that...
XM?
Yeah, kind of like old school Christmas music more. I don't like...
Well, they do a lot of old school over there at 99.
Yeah, they do. They do. Dana Tyson, by the way, was awesome.
Yeah, she's a very nice person.
I would have her read... Oh, she's got a little edgy side, too.
Yeah.
Like, I had her read one time. There was some kind of... Really, somebody went off and was dropping bombs all over the place. And so we did a reenactment on the radio, and Dana Tyson read the reenactment. And she said, oh, can y'all just bleep them out? I'd like to say these words. Like, yeah, yeah, that's fine.
Sure.
And she just cut it loose. I was like, oh, my God.
That is...
Doesn't feel right. She's awesome. But, yeah, I do like... I'm a holiday music listening person, but I like it to be a little cooler than it is right now, like, you know, 74 degrees.
Or this is my favorite time of year. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that about it. And can we stop with the standard daylight savings time or whatever it is?
Man.
It sucks to get dark at 5 o'clock.
I swear to you. I thought it was 7 o'clock the other day, and it was 3:30 or 4:30. It was like... It's unbelievable how dark it gets, how quickly it gets dark.
Mm-hmm. No, that blows. Because you gotta play golf right away as soon as the show ends, and you gotta get out. You gotta make sure that you're out there, and then we have to do these videos. It just it disturbs a lot of stuff for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's pretty much mostly you. All of that sounded like a you thing.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure everybody is inconvenienced like that. The Rams look like a real football team, man.
I tell you what, the Rams are I loved Cam Akers in the draft. I have it DeAndre Swift, Cam Akers, 1-2. But Jonathan Taylor not far behind. And then Cam Akers, one of these rookies. This always happens, though, all the time, where a guy like just kind of disappears his rookie season. And you think, and all of a sudden they plug Cam Akers in the last three games, and it's made a huge difference for the Rams running game. It's like, holy crap. Yesterday he went for 171, and he ran 29 times. They had a 10-minute drive for a touchdown in the third quarter. 16 plays, 12 runs, and 10-minute a 10-minute drive. And man, it was I tell you, watching the Rams, you get the feeling now. You know, you see the Patriots uniforms. I think subconsciously we still think the Patriots are a decent team because we just see the uniforms. Cam stinks. The Patriots stink.
No.
They're not a good team.
Well,
but I don't think it changes.
They went 45-0 last week.
Yeah.
But that was all defense.
Yeah. Three or four. Yeah. Cam didn't get to 100 yards.
Yeah. Right. Well, and that's why we were okay, who do you like tonight? And I like the Patriots. I'm like, no, how can you take a team, especially with that Rams defense? And here's the thing. Goff plays decent. Akers is running like a beast. He's still got weapons. But that defense, that Rams defense.
And it wasn't the case earlier in the season, but they're playing well now.
And you're right. If there's ever, Donald is maybe he's as good a defensive player as we've seen since, JJ and Lawrence Taylor before that.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
There's very few players that have ever played as well as Aaron Donald.
He's unbelievable.
And especially very few interior players that are this
And he
disruptive.
Moves outside, and even when he's outside.
Well, they'll match him up sometimes on weaklings, but he doesn't need to be matched up like. He has what he is he has linebacker quickness from an interior spot, and he's not big, but he's got the strength of a nose tackle. Like, he's got tremendous strength. He obliterated people at the Senior Bowl when I was there, and everyone's trying to make excuses like, well, it's one-on-one drills are made for defensive players, and then he's holding the point of attack in drills where it's one-on-one, like a run blocking drill, and he just sits there like a doorstop, just. Not and no one can move him at all. Well, he's got natural anchor. When he has to deal with NFL, like, double teams, he's going to get blown away. And people try to make excuses for why he was so dominant. And then, like, no, he's just dominant. That's just what he is. Sometimes, but then you get an Ed Oliver, and everyone says, well, Ed Oliver can be undersized because he's Aaron Donald. No, you can't assume that just because somebody else is 280-some-odd pounds and quick, they're the next Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald is a freak show. Aaron Donald is a generational talent, is what he is. I mean, he's a generational talent. They don't play like him when they look like him on a defensive line. They don't look like him, first of all. It's just, you know, certain guys are extremely rare, and he's extremely rare. We'll see guys who look like J.J. You know, the Bosas aren't as big as J.J., but the Bosas look kind of like J.J.
Is this Donald run as good as J.J.'s run?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
J.J. won 3 in 5 years.
Yeah, because it 3 and 5 or 3 and 4?
Was it three? I thought it was 3 and 5 or 3 and 4? Whatever. That was an unbelievable run by J.J. The best, I think. I don't know. Can we name another one since Lawrence Taylor that was as good a run of defense by a single guy?
No, I mean, J.J.'s was super. If I started telling you J.J.'s.
Yeah, the stats, numbers.
It would freak you out because he's. Like, his stats were the greatest. I studied Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor, like, all the greatest, and J.J.'s was better. It's one of the most unbelievable runs. It was the best pure statistical all-around run probably in the history of defensive linemen. And now, that's before Aaron Donald. And now we have Aaron Donald, and you see the way he is wrecking people anyway. So, from an award standpoint, he won, he won the award in 2012. J.J. did. He did not win when they won two games. He did not win the.
Well, surprisingly.
Yeah, it's a tough award to win when you win two games. He won the award in. Let's see. He was MVP, defensive All Pro. I'll look at it. I should be able to find it easier than this.
Yeah, you seem to be taking a long
time. Yeah, this is an awful long time to be finding a guy's. I'm on Wikipedia.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, that's. But a lot of people are commenting about your laptop. It says,
how can they
you've
tell,
got mail.
How can they tell how old it is? It's from 2014. How can they tell?
2012, 14, and 15. 3-year run. A four-year run.
3 and 4 years.
3 and 4 years. That was really easy to find, Lance. I don't know where you were.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I was reading through the wording on a Wikipedia page.
Well, all you had to do is go to his career highlights
Dude,
awards.
Three. That is. Yeah, it's right down the right.
Yeah.
3 and 4 years. That's how dominant J.J. was. He had two sack seasons of 20, John. Two 20-sack seasons. Aaron Donald, in terms of 20-sack seasons in his career up to this point, is at... How long is this going to take to find?
I don't know.
He has one. His highest is 20.5, and his next highest is 12.5. Like, he's not even close to J.J.'s dominance as a sack man, and yet we know he's – but he's also all the time rushing, mostly from interior spots. J.J. preferred to rush from the outside, so he couldn't get double.
Both have five-time first-team All-Pro. He's a three-time defensive player of the year already, and this will be his fourth. Yep. This will be his sixth first-team All-Pro. He's a five-time Pro Bowler.
He's
J.J. had five-time, J.J. six-time Pro Bowl.
That's where he's going to get J.J.'s
Aaron Donald six-time Pro Bowl. So, they're, I mean, it's looking identical, except Aaron Donald is continuing. Now, is J.J. J.J. first-team All-Pro this year?
No. Read. Okay, here's Aaron Donald's stats. So, he's in the midst of his greatest run of all time, right? This is Aaron Donald's peak.
This is his run.
So, his peak, I'm going to read this to you. Ready? We'll start in 2017.
Oh, no. Aaron Donald is two-time defensive player of the year, 17 and 18. We'll see if he's this year.
I'll start it in 17. 11 sacks. 15 tackles for loss for Aaron Donald. The next year, 20.5 sacks, 25 tackles for loss. The next year, 2019, 12.5 sacks, 20 tackles for loss. The next year, which is this year, right now, as we speak, 12.5 sacks, 10 tackles for loss. Now, that's great numbers. I'm going to read J.J.'s stats.
They're stupid.
During his four. You ready? 20.5 sacks, 39 tackles for loss. 10.5 sacks, 22 tackles for loss. 20.5 sacks, 29 tackles for loss, 17 and a half sacks, 29 tackles for loss. They blow Aaron Donald's numbers away. Like, statistically,
JJ plays more outside than Aaron Donald does.
Yeah, but it's harder. I would argue that it's harder to get a TFL from outside.
Yeah, JJ chases a lot of guys down, though. I mean, well, he's...
His talent.
Yeah.
He's big, fast, and powerful, and explosive. Jay, I'm telling you, when people talk about Aaron Donald's dominance, JJ was unblockable on a play-by-play basis. He would just go... You had to have a plan for him to have any chance. You don't get these... I mean, these numbers, you know, the AV, which is... which tells your impact on a game. Aaron Donald's highest up to this point in his career, and we're sitting here saying Aaron Donald's one of the greatest to ever play the game. Aaron Donald's highest AV is 20. J.J. Watt hit 21, 22, 19 in his years as defensive player of the year. Like, J.J.'s numbers, and I haven't even gotten to his passes defensed, 16, 7, 10, and 8 during that time, knocking passes down, creating third downs. Aaron Donald, 1-1-2-1.
JJ was simply. But this is an unbelievable run as well.
It is.
He will win Defensive Player of the Year again. This will be three straight years of Defensive Player of the Year, and he is and another first team All Pro. And this is as good a run as we've seen. And this Rams team, they can go.
Stephon Gilmore won it last year.
Oh, it says right here. Oh, 18, 17 and 18. That's right. This will be the third in 4 years for him. Third in 4 years. That's right. I was thinking that this is 18 was last year. 18 was 2 years ago. This is a very JJ like this run. He plays a different position, so it's a little, like you said, the numbers. JJ was unbelievably dominant, but so was Aaron Donald. He got him to the Super Bowl. Helped get him to the Super Bowl.
Well, so did Todd Gurley.
So did JJ.
That has nothing to do with JJ. JJ was so much better than anybody else on his team. It was ridiculous.
Well,
like Todd Gurley, JJ. I'm just telling you, JJ's numbers historically will be better than Aaron Donald's. Now he won't play as long. Well, he might play as long, but JJ has had injuries, significant injuries in three seasons.
Yeah,
I mean significant. Torn pec is a significant injury. His was it knee or ankle? Which was his other one? I mean, he's had three significant groin that almost made him quit. JJ's had some significant injuries, and he's come back, and JJ's still playing well. If you look at JJ's numbers, you know, 5 sacks this year is not bad. 11 tackles for losses. There are more mortal numbers, but a good mortal, you know, a pretty good mortal. So JJ is still a talented player. He was a superhero previously. I'm just saying. Want to make sure people remember when he's gone, because JJ's greatest season is the last time he's had this kind of season was 2000. And I mean, I know he had a 16 sack season in 2018, which is incredible, and 25 tackles for loss. I'm sorry, 18 tackles for loss. That's an incredible season.
Yeah.
That's an incredible season. And it didn't seem like the same dominant guy. And yet it's an incredible season. But JJ was doing things that were just superhuman, but the injuries, I do think, took away some of what could have been, just cemented him as the greatest player to ever play defensive line. He was on that pace.
Yep.
I mean, he was already he was winning Defense Player of the Year his second year in the league. Now, I think it's going to be Aaron Donald, because Aaron Donald's going to keep crushing people.
Yep, absolutely.
He's going to keep wasting people.
But as far as the all-time defensive linemen, these are
two of the greatest.
Bruce Smith, Reggie White.
Now, but JJ's you have to really condense into 4 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Aaron Donald's is going to last longer, probably.
We'll see.
And then you've got Russ Blacklock coming up. We'll see what happens there.
You got to throw Russ Blacklock in the grease.
Not in the grease. I'm saying we don't know what he's doing. Do you know what he's going to do?
Is it Russ or Ross Blacklock?
Whatever.
Ross.
Sure.
Ross.
Either one. Russ, Ross.
The difference? I mean, it doesn't make any difference.
He could be the next J.J. Watt. You definitely don't know that to this point, because J.J. really went off his
second year.
You know
how I know he's not going to be the next J.J. Watt? You two don't even know what his real name is.
Mama called him Russ.
I wrote him up for the draft.
Mama called him Ross.
How do you know?
No. I'm looking at it right now.
She might have misspelled it.
And said, you got it right. Okay.
Maybe. You don't know.
You ever seen Dwayne Wade's name?
How he spells it?
You still know. Hardaway should have been Anthony, but they spelled it wrong.
Right.
Ross is what his government name is.
Well, that's the government. I, you know what? You can kowtow to the man. I'm not.
Did you talk to his mom about how his name is?
No, but I don't know. You don't know? I don't know.
John Anon.
Right?
John Anon.
Time to talk about...
You trust the government's name?
Yeah.
So government names you trust.
That's
now.
That's what you trust.
Because the government gave him this name.
I don't trust government names, and I don't trust vaccines. That's where I'm at.
Whoa. Wow.
John
Anti-vaxxer.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Why don't you just go hug a tree, anti-vaxxer? While you're
will
in
it,
there,
I don't know if
anti-vaxxers are tree huggers so much as they're.
I don't know.
They've really become just conspiracy theorists too.
Right. Yes. Oh,
I mean, at what first about it was Pizzagate? Like, hey, we're keeping kids from getting autism because that playmate told us.
How about Pizzagate, former Del? Playmate. How's that working out for you?
I don't believe in Pizzagate. That was someone close to home who believes that for you.
That's my daughter.
Yeah, not me.
Time to talk right now about Damaris, Yanni Damaris at Damaris Barbecue, Frankie and Billy and all the great people over at Damaris Barbecue. Look at. You're catering this holiday season. If you don't want to cook, let them cook. I swear, their catering is excellent. Excellent. And they can make you another turkey, or they can make you a ham, or they can make you whatever it is you want, and you don't have to cook, and they'll get it all done. So go to Damaris, DEMERIS.com. You're looking for a great place to watch your games. We go watch the Houston pro football team over there. We watch college football over there. There are a couple of Aggs. So if you're looking for a great place, or you know what, they're really good friends with the University of Houston program as well. They sponsor Dana stuff and everything else. But here's the deal: is if you're looking for a great barbecue and a whole lot more, their wings are excellent. While you're watching games, you do that. They've also got all kinds of great appetizers. Ask them about their chili with the barbecue meat in it; it's excellent. You also got fajitas. You also got the ribeye is excellent. And so, and obviously, they got the Greek salad. Obviously, the Greek salad at a barbecue place, but that's what they do. So, if you're looking for great food and you're looking for great fun, a great place to watch the game, 18th Street at 610, and of course on Shepherd, just north of West Alabama, you're looking for great catering as well. It's Damaris Barbecue.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. What do you think? Did you hear any buzz? Did you hear what was the fallout yesterday from the Sports Illustrated?
So, you know what's funny? I actually heard a lot. I had this phrase sent to me three times, holy bleep, from people in league circles, said holy bleep, because we've talked about Jack before. He's been a talking point. Look, reading that article, it's like, my gosh, it's like somebody who listened to this show literally helped with the article or was one of the people who was talking. It's not any of us, but somebody, because it sounds like they pulled the whole beginning of the article, sounds like our show. Our Lord of the Rings stuff, and I'm not saying we're the only one. Not Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones.
He loves Lord of the Rings too.
We're not the only ones that could maybe come up with it, but they were literally exactly what we were talking about.
Exactly.
And I know some of the people who were in the building, and one who's not in the building anymore, who listens to the show. So there is a chance that what we were doing on the show did make it. I think there's a very good chance that that happened.
Yeah. Oh, no. I really do, too. It's funny. A buddy of mine reminded me. He said, I told you a few weeks ago that there was a former player who was being interviewed by Sports Illustrated about an Easterby article. And I just, it just blanked. And then all of a sudden, he goes, you see? Did you see what? And I was like, oh, my gosh. Forgot all about that.
Yeah.
A lot of people, they did a lot of investigative work on this. They talked to a lot of people, like four connections from Jack. I mean, they did. And Brandon brought this up yesterday. He said, man, the intensive work that they did for months and the amount of interviews that they did for this article, they really wanted to get Jack Easterby.
They wanted to get Jack Easterby. Well, you can't have done this much work. I mean, I think hopefully we're going to get Jenny Vrentas on the show
now,
to talk about one of the authors. But people in the league also said, and one person in the building said, you know, it's clear. I don't think anyone's disputing anything. But they said, this is what's out. This is what people think.
Yeah,
that's Amy and Bill. That's Amy and Bill. That's a hit piece that was directed by Amy and Bill. Pulled all the necessary strings to get this. Oh, you need to talk
Maybe
to this
you
person.
Need to talk to them.
This person.
Now they did talk to some people like Dawn Staley. Some people at South Carolina.
Oh, to balance it out.
I
don't know if they
I'm going to tell you this. There's probably a lot of people that think Jack Easterby is like Cal McNair has been taken in by him. There are people at South Carolina that have been taken.
Well, that was the Dawn Staley stuff was already out there. No. Well, I knew that Dawn Staley had been talked to, but I thought it was for something else.
But they didn't. All they said was that she loves him. That she really admired.
But she had already said something very positive about Jack for something else, and maybe that's where they used it from. But yes, Jack has some people who are definitely on his side. I know for a fact that Bill Belichick does not dislike.
No.
Now Robert Kraft is a different story. You took a shot anonymously at Robert Kraft on the way out, and from what I've been told, there's a really good chance that a lot of this that's happening and how hard people are going at him, including Florio, that this is coming from the Kraft people, that Kraft's people are like, it's on for life now. You decided to do that, it's on for life, and that they're the ones who feed Florio, and that they're the ones who are happy to help out. Now, do you have a willing partner in Bill O'Brien?
Oh, yeah.
Bill O'Brien would never be quoted for anything because he could get his game checks taken. He can get his checks taken away from him. I guarantee you, Billy is laying them out.
Well, there are other people as well that can't put their name on anything. You see a lot of background that probably was done. Other people that have been fired by the organization.
Sure.
I'm sure that have been talked to and might well have given and contributed to this article and the whole theme of it. But what do you think it's like in that building this morning? I wonder if Jack doesn't go, you know what? I need to take the weekend off.
I think it's going to be extremely uncomfortable. And here's the thing, you know, the question was, I know that Mike Florio clearly believes that with Cal, it won't matter. And he might be right.
I doubt that. I don't think Janice.
But if I just left it at Cal. With Cal, does it matter?
It has to.
Because you're saying with Janice.
Well, because they've got to have a sit down and talk about it and say, it's really, we can't have this in the building. We can't. I mean, even, you know, Cal has put out the statement to them. If you read it, Cal is clearly behind Jack and what he brings to the table, and he likes what Jack brings and all of that stuff. But when you see this and you read this and you see what it's about and how he polarizes the building, I don't think you can have it, especially after you've already gotten rid of the head of the snake. I don't think you can keep the rest of the body. I just think that it's just poisonous. I think it's going to be unless you change what he does, unless you get him back to character coach, unless you get him and take away authority, because let's face it, there's no football. The football people, you're limiting the amount of football people that you can bring in here and the quality of football person you can bring in here. When you tell them that this guy, who this article is written about, that questions his experience, that questions his value, that questions how he got here, what football are you going to be the best football organization you can possibly be?
So This show has had, we have laid this all out for you for several months. Not everything that you read in the article, not everything you read, because there's stuff I didn't know about that came out there. But we told you that this is, I had two people call and ask about the job and ask about Jack Easterby. And one of them is a highly regarded player, a highly regarded front office guy who will not leave unless the right job comes along. And he was interested, but he asked me, I need to know about the Easterby thing. Who does John McClain have a voice with Cal McNair? Who's in between Jack Easterby and that? Like, he asked, and I said, look, I'd like to tell you something positive. And I know Corn Ferry's running this and Jed Hughes and all that. But I said, I think Easterby's going to be in the mix. And he said, I'm just telling you now, Lance, I would never go there if I thought Jack Easterby. He goes, it's not even really personal with Easterby, but I can't have someone above me who's not even a football guy, yeah, you know, having the owner's ear. And then I had another guy who's an up-and-coming candidate say the same thing. And then football people all said, you're not going to get the best candidates.
You're just not.
It's already hard enough,
yep,
with no first and second round pick, bad cap situation, having a quarterback. And this is a separate conversation I had with a candidate who said, and I said, how do you rank these jobs? I said, of all the jobs that are open right now, and let's assume Chicago opens and Philadelphia opens. He goes, Houston's last. It doesn't matter. I said, is it like a no-brainer? He goes, yeah, because your quarterback only had a 3-year deal. So your quarterback's going to be, you got, he said, if you have a 3-year plan, then by the end of your 3-year plan, your quarterback's going to be coming up soon. Your left tackle's coming up soon. They're going to take up, you know, probably $75 million of cap space. He goes, we don't have a first or second rounder. He said, you know, the roster needs work. I'm not worried about that. You can fix a roster. He said, but he said, it's the least attractive. And I said, is the Jets job attractive? And he goes, Joe Douglas didn't go anywhere. I'm like, yeah, I totally forgot about that. We're always talking coaches, because yeah, I threw it out there, but he had thought about that. He goes, but by the way, yes, it's definitely more attractive than the Texans, which I already knew. But the thing that really, really, the thing that this is the thing. And I tried to get word over there to someone in the building. I said, look, I'm just telling you now, the top people in the league are not going to consider this. And I'm like desperate. I want to help this. I want to help the organization. I want the city to have a team that all of us can be proud of and that is a badass team that does things the right way and they're smart. And it just feels helpless knowing what they should be doing and knowing what is going on. It's just, and that's how I felt since the Tunsil trade, because it was such a stupid ass trade. Not bringing over Tunsil, that's smart to bring over Tunsil. But the way that you did it was incredibly stupid. And everything they've done has been dumb. It's not no general manager would have done the things that they do. It's not proper value. And they have gutted, and then for Jack to try to get away from it. But what he did is he made an enemy of Bill O'Brien, probably one of Amy Palsik, probably an enemy of people he's gotten rid of here. But the secret sauce is that New England hates him. Mm. And New England could go right to Mike Florio and say, this guy's a snake. And if Florio, you know, he's like, oh, there's other people more qualified who are minority candidates. Oh, this is makes me mad. And Florio is like, Florio's never going to get off. Florio's a bulldog until he's gone. Reading that piece, this is really everybody who reads a piece say, oh my God. I had somebody read it and then they reread it. This is a personnel guy. I said, I can't believe.
Nobody
said the second time around, some of the stuff in there is really unbelievable.
Well,
and I'm just telling you now, it is going to be really hard to survive that, except for one reason, and you know what it is. A tremendous amount of money is owed to him.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking, $3 million a year. Jack Easterby is making more than he makes more than a GM who has won a Super Bowl over the last 3 years.
He makes more than several
NFL GMs.
The whole thing is unbelievable. And there's something else that is unbelievable that the Texans did that we'll tell you about on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about Chastain Ford, the Ford truck experts with their straightforward pricing and never, never any dealer add-ons. They're the best choice when you're looking for that new Ford. Now, they got the built for the holiday sales event. 2020 Ford Expedition XLT, 0% APR, up to 72 months, or 25% off MSRP. 25% off MSRP. You want that? Yeah. Looking for a truck? 2020 Ford F-150 four-door, the STX, for $29,999. Or $49 a month with nothing down. $499 a month with nothing down. This is ridiculous, people. If you are, you can also, how about this? You can get the 2020 F-150 four-door STX for the $29.99 or $10,000 off on a 2020 Ford F-150 XLT crew cab with no dealer add-ons. Drive in, shop online. They can deliver it right to your door. It's on Homestead, not Hempstead. Homestead, just 5 minutes from downtown on 610. Or, again, you can shop at home at ChastainFord.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
733 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. So Dan Patrick had Tony Dungy on. Was this yesterday? I don't know if it was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday. Dan Patrick had Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy, you know, talks football with him. And then Dan Patrick asked him about the Texans, because last week Cal put out, before this hit piece came out, a preemptive strike about how Cal and Janice are going to make the decision, but they have Andre Johnson, they have a whole bunch of other people that are going to help with the decision-making process, not even in football. There's a, who else, in basketball, somebody in basketball.
Well,
R.C. Buford is going to help out.
R.C. Buford.
R.C. Buford. Somebody else in business. And Tony
Fritz
Dungy.
Fritz Pollard Award.
Fritz, yeah, yeah.
I can't remember who it was from Fritz Pollard Award.
And Tony Dungy going to help out with the selection, with the, well, he's going to be on the advisory board. And here's Dan Patrick with Tony Dungy.
Now, you're working with the Texans on trying to help them find a general manager. Is that right?
No, don't start that rumor, Dan.
Okay.
Here's what happened.
Okay.
Cal McNair called several people and said, would you talk to me about how to select a general manager and a head coach?
Okay.
And I said, sure, I would love to. Well, all of a sudden that becomes you're on a committee to select the next general manager. I've had 50 million texts from people who want this job, head coach or GM. I'm not picking the person. All I'm doing is giving Mr. McNair a formula. And what I told him, Dan, is the same thing you and I have talked about for years. I said, first of all, build your blueprint and tell me what you want. Then I can give you some suggestions, but don't come to me and say, who's good? I have 50 people that I'd love to hire, but they're not going to work for me. And it doesn't matter what I think of them. You have to decide what you want.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that. And that's why I told Fritzy, I said, reach out to Coach, because I don't know if he's on a committee. And the fact that people have put you on a committee, that there is no committee to hire the Texans' next GM. Therefore, you would be helping to hire the next coach for the Texans.
Yeah, and that I would imagine. Listen, I know a lot of coaches, and as soon as this is the worst time of the year, right around Christmas, the football season ends. A lot of jobs are open, or you know your coach is going to get fired, so you're an assistant coach and you're looking for work, or you're going to, or you want to upgrade, and there's an opening somewhere.
Yeah.
You talk about, I don't know how coaches do it, if you want to know the truth, because every year is so volatile. I mean, there are obviously stable places, but if you're at a place, if you're in any kind of a situation, every Christmas, and when a coaching job opens up, or if a coach gets a head coaching job, he goes, look at this. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Thousands, literally thousands of texts.
I got one from a CFL scout about, hey, I want to see if you can help me with the Texas job. He said, I said, which? The GM job. I said, oh.
Well.
I don't know if I have that kind of pull over there.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I'm pretty rough on them over there on Jack Easterby. He goes, well, he said, Jack's going to be the one running the show, right? This is probably 3 weeks ago. I said, yeah. He goes, well, I know he's going to want to run the show. Just probably wants a GM who will help him out and who will, you know, be the face of it and do the interviews and all that stuff. And I'll be more than happy to do whatever he wants me to do. I'm like, okay, I'm sure he would appreciate you being the sacrificial lamb like this. But I don't have, A, you're definitely not going to get it. And B, I don't have any pull over.
Yeah, how many people have said, hey, you guys, get zone interview. We can't get any interviews.
Somebody else went after me. I said, you need to start talking to Janice McNair about this. You guys in the media are too soft. You haven't done anything. I was like, you must not listen to the show. We've put all this stuff out there for a long time. I said, do you know, like, people think we can just get to Cal McNair. Cal, I need to talk to you. Hey, bring to Houston Texans office during pandemic. How can I help you? Get Cal. Excuse me? Cal McNair, owner.
I want to talk to him.
Either Cal or Janice, whoever's up there at the offices. No one's up at the offices.
Well, give me their home number.
Give me a cell or a home number.
Janice
has a cell, Cal, they both probably have
a home number. No, but Tony Dungy was probably pissed. He's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, but this isn't the Texans' fault. This is people just ran with this. I'll give you an example. Here's why. I'm reading from HoustonTexans.com. Cal McNair to work with advisors, including Tony Dungy, Jimmy Johnson, and more. They're clearly labeled advisors here in the Texans article.
Well, yeah.
It says, took the next step in their ongoing head coaching and general manager search, along with search firm Korn Ferry. Texans will get feedback from leaders in sports industry.
Yeah, but you put their names out there.
It just said you're asking for feedback from them. People kind of ran with this more than anything. It just said they're just going to ask for feedback, and that's what Tony Dungy said. That's all it was. But when it comes out there, I think people kind of ran with, this is a committee for the next GM.
But Cal put out a formal letter to season ticket holders, me, and he sent me a pecan pie, okay? And he said, when you put their name in there.
Can I ask you a question? I don't care about all that other stuff. Get back to the pecan pie for a second.
It was nice.
But you don't eat sweets.
Oh, no, I did for Thanksgiving. I made a piece. What the hell? You think I ate the whole pie?
Well, couldn't you have sliced off a piece, put it in a refrigerator, and brought the rest of it up here?
Everybody has pecan pie, their own pecan pie for Thanksgiving. If you don't have your own pecan pie for Thanksgiving, your kids should probably try to divorce you as a parent.
Yeah, but you don't. But I'm not talking about for the kids and family. I'm talking about for us.
Well, wait a minute. You can't get a piece of your own pecan pie at home. Then you did it. You've done it wrong because nobody touches it.
It doesn't last.
Nobody touches it until dad gets it first.
You're not. Yeah, obviously, but you're not a dessert guy.
No, I'm not.
Well, then bring it up here. What are you doing?
Oh, I gave it to the poor.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
You don't give anything to the poor except a smack.
No, I don't give a fresh one.
Except a fresh one.
I don't give a fresh one to the poor. I gave it. I brought it up here for Dal. Dal needed it.
That's 100%.
No, you didn't.
I tried to.
How did you try?
I didn't make it past. Did you see the animals out there yesterday that left a?
I mean, I'm glad.
Me and Dell had to clean it up.
Got to it before David Gal got here. I just heard his footsteps walking by. It was atrocious. I don't know what that was. It just felt like someone will get to this.
Somebody brought food last night. Who brought
Cafe Brazil?
It
was really, really good.
Oh, yeah?
I'll tell you that.
Who showed
I had BB's, which was BB's? Outstanding.
Yeah, BB's was awesome.
BB's brought us some food. I had red beans and rice with andouille sausage.
Yeah.
Or a sausage or something. I don't know if it was andouille.
It was a Cajun sausage. It looked really good.
It was probably andouille sausage. The thing I got was great.
Yeah. So was my fish.
Joel, guess what Charlie got? They had all the orders up here. Charlie's got, I believe I will have a Cajun place. The tres leches sounds good. It was just a tres leches just sitting up here. I said, who's this for, Courtney? Oh, that's Charlie's order. He just ordered a dessert? Yeah, and I'm like, you know how badly
he threw it down during the show because everybody was commenting about him on Twitch.
You know how badly I wanted to cut off like just a third of it? I made the perfect cut, he might not know I took it.
But
tres leches is delicious.
If he got dirty rice, I would have said, now give me that. But
Somebody else got dirty rice.
You actually considered cutting a sliver off that man's dessert?
Not just in my head, not like...
Takes interns hamburgers.
I know. He's not a great person.
No, he's a bad person.
Part of me did want to take somebody's food yesterday.
Of course.
But I had my own big-ass thing of food.
He had his own food. He had his own,
and it was delicious, and yet he wanted to take Charlie's. He was like, if Faust brought up a case of Coors Light, how would I have been? Like, oh my God, give me that. I want your beer too. I want everybody's beer.
Yeah, you do that.
That was Lance.
What are you talking about? When's the last time you let anyone have any of your beer?
No, but
no, they brought me five cases.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have.
I know,
I did not leave one beer for no one.
But if St. Arnold's was up here too, he wouldn't have tried to grab theirs from someone else. He would just taking his, like you had your food.
I only took mine. But at the end of the day,
you longed for Charlie's.
It was a fantasy.
Are you broken inside? Is that the problem?
No, it was just something I fantasized about taking part of Charlie's dessert.
Are you sure?
This is Lance's fantasy?
Yeah.
He fantasizes about Charlie's tres leches.
I'm a simple man, Jack.
You like Charlie's tres leches and
I like pretty feet.
And feet. Mm-hmm. Would you like to put the tres leches on feet?
On the feet and eat them off the feet?
No.
Are you sure?
No, it's not like that. It's not like that.
Okay.
I don't go that far into the feet thing.
They smelled like pretty feet.
No. Ooh, I don't like stinky things.
Pretty feet.
No, I just don't. No, it's just like a, it's just a visual. Like since I was like 4 years old, I remember some lady doing karate. I'm like, hey, I like that. I shouldn't have said that. I probably let too much out.
I didn't know it was that deep-seated. It started at 4 years old.
I probably let that out.
Yeah, you probably should have kept that to yourself.
Look at this. It doesn't count now because I'm past the break. Simple. Now, I'm not one of those guys who gets on an OnlyFans account and starts, look at your feet. Not that. Kind of creep.
But it's deep-seated, your love
of
feet.
You have to do that.
He does it all the time. Why do you do that?
I wish Twitch didn't work anymore.
Oh, the Twitch people. You guys get a you get a show every single morning with Lance doing stuff. Whenever Lance
does stuff to himself.
Stuff to himself. 743.
It's not like John makes a sound.
ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about being a champion. That's what we're talking about. All you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560. I don't know about you, but it was warm again this morning. So guess what? It's going to be cold, and it's going to be, it's going to be warm, and it's going to be, you're going to have your air conditioning on, so you're going to have to spend that money. You want to spend that money? No. You don't want to spend a lot of money. What you want to spend is as little as possible. So go with Champion. I'm telling you, all these other ones with nights and weekends and free here and blah, 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 and we got and wonderful pricing and stuff like this, forget about it, because they're going to fee you to death. And when it's all said and done, what you're going to get is the best bill that you can. It'll be your best bill. At champion.energy/1560.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, it's a Friday show. It's pretty much a holiday, right? We're 2 weeks before Christmas, so we don't care what we talk about. The latest James Harden drama. James says it. Okay, so apparently the Rockets want Durant or Kyrie for James Harden. So, sorry, James, you won't be going there. That's
ultimately, I hate to say it, but the Ben Simmons, a potential swap that involves Ben Simmons is the most likely. But James, good news, James added the Heat, and we talked about yesterday, James added the Heat and the Bucks, teams that he would be traded to.
Yeah.
And then also, somebody put on Twitter, he also added the Dream Team. The Dream Team was also added.
You'd like to
Showtime Lakers and Dream Team were also added, and 96 Bulls. To teams James would be willing to be traded.
Does he want to be one of the Splash Brothers too, or no?
Yeah, he'll be a Splash Brother.
He'd be doing it. Yeah.
Well, not now, since Klay Thompson won't play basketball for 2 or 3 years.
Totally. So the story out yesterday by Blake Harper. I guess this was updated. This is last updated 12/10. Oh yeah, that's oh hello. That was yesterday. That he wanted out as soon as Steven Silas was hired as head coach. So,
which runs contrary to, there's just been so much.
Steven Silas has said, no, James was on the on the search committee or whatever. And
no, that was Tony Dungy.
No, not on the search committee. But Stephen Silas has come out and said, no, well, James was in the interview process.
I know. This is, yeah, James. Maybe James was like, oh, cool. Okay, thank you, Mr. Silas. And went like this. Right, guys? Am I right? Thumbs down? Am I right, guys?
Behind his back, he was going, no, we don't want no. Icky face? He did an icky face? He did his side look?
His side eye.
Walked
off. This is just so lame.
Listen,
this whole thing is so lame.
It really is. Everything. It is so. Honestly, James probably got to go. He's probably got to go.
No, you know, he does, but you got to stand still. You got to stand firm with what you said. Yeah, he's got to go, but stay with what you're. Look, James has now decided I can't do this as the lead. I want to go play with somebody else and let them be the lead, and I'm just one of the guys too. And that's fine. He wants a ring, and this is the way to do it. To get a ring now, you have to go with other guys and try to team up. And James has done it this way. He kind of tends to come up a little short. Some of the battles they've had have been just really tough against really tough opponents. It's not easy to beat. I mean, you are losing to the eventual champions in many cases. Warriors, Lakers this year. I mean, it is, you know, it's not easy. Of course, the Warriors should have won and then lost to the, or no. Who won it? Year before
last?
They
lost to the Raptors.
Yeah, the Raptors, so they lost. But,
yeah, so.
I don't know. James wants to gang up. He's part of the.
Well.
He wants to go gang up now, so that's fine, but you can't just leave. The Rockets aren't just going to let you go and get what you want.
So here's a headline from a couple of days ago. James Harden gave Rockets mandate to build a championship team or trade him. What exactly does that consist of?
They already built
one
for you.
Go get Kevin Durant and LeBron, or I'm leaving, or trade me. What do you mean build a championship team? How about... James has had from Dwight to Chris Paul to Russell Westbrook. He's had three superstars with him here. Apparently, it's not enough. I know Dirk won it with no other stars, and I know Kawhi with the Raptors. He had a budding star in Siakam, but I know they were able to win it. But man, James, you got to get him some help. You need to put together another dream team so that James can get his title. James is leaving, or James wants out. Trade him.
Cool. I mean, this is what the NBA is anyway. Now it's just players crying about they can't. I want what I want, and that's it. Yeah. And that's fine if that's what you want. Then help the Rockets find a suitable trade. Let your agent do what. A lot of teams say, okay, that's fine, but go find us a trade. And this is what the trade's got to be. And we're not giving you, if not, let James just lose 40 some odd million this year. Just set out. Just make a point, Rockets. Make a point that you're not going to be held hostage. Nope. And that James has got to find a suitor. The assumption in that article, the same one that you read in by Blake, somebody who I never even heard of the guy.
Blake Shelton?
Surely, if the Rockets put him out there, there'll be lots of suitors. Really, Blake? Because that's not how this works. There's going to be suitors if James signs an extension. And the only way James is going to sign an extension if it's a team he wants to be at. So there's not going to be lots of suitors. And number two, there's not going to be lots of suitors who are willing to give up fair value. So there won't be. You're going to find out that we're sitting here and the Rockets can't get value for him. They're going to have to take a lesser deal at some point, but they have to wait as long as they can for a good deal.
He says. The Rockets would likely have no shortage of suitors if they make Harden available. But the big question is if a team will be able to match their asking price. If Houston gets rid of Harden, it is essentially committing to a rebuild. So they are likely going to want several young players, possibly a bevy of draft picks, in order to feel comfortable making a trade. That's not the case. The Rockets want somebody now, a good player. Apparently, they're asking for Durant or Kyrie. Okay, so... that's not a bevy of young players. They want something of value coming back here. How do you think John Wall feels right now? Hey, man, going to go with James, going to get out of Washington. We're going to go to a place that wins. We got a nice team. I'm going to start to win now. It's going to be awesome. I want out.
The same way Steven Silas feels.
Why'd you have to do the? Why'd you do that?
Because that's Chance. That's what Chance said. Told him. I don't know that.
Does that mean I want out?
I want in. No, the first was I want you here to, and we're gonna win a title. The second was I'm one out.
I don't know.
You can barely see John Wall could barely tell the difference because so he still thinks James is saying I want to be here.
John Wall's like, I thought you said I want.
They texted each other. The funniest thing is that's probably what James told him. Like, it's great to have you here. I think we can do great things. And the next thing he got on with his agent, hey,
give me I'm not playing. I'm not sure the agent knew what he said. What, James?
Do you think he told the agent to accept the extension and the agent got confused and said no because he couldn't understand it?
I want an extension. What? You don't want the extension? What? 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 Okay. We're going to refuse the extension. What?
James, you're going to have to announce
James, come on, brother.
I mean.
Let's get Brent in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Brent.
Hey, guys. I hate to steer away from the awesome Harden talk, you know, the beard. Fear the beard. But I was looking at a matchup this week with the Miami Hurricanes, Derek King, and the North Carolina Tar Heels, and I was reminded of Lance's call on a mobile when he had Mac Brown on talking about how they didn't practice picking up the blitz and how the caller called in thinking that Mac Brown was smacked out of his mind because he didn't prepare for a blitz. And I was like, man, we need to get some Mac Brown on a mobile back on the radio because, good Lord, that was, dude, we were like, us coaches were at school listening to that old, they're like, hey, man, do you remember this recording, man? We found it. We were playing, we were just cracking up. I was like, dude, we need some more Mac Brown on a mobile to be like revamped.
I could send it to Dell and you could hear it all over again. It was after the Holiday Bowl.
Yeah. When he didn't know that you could blitz.
Yeah. So this guy, Will, some little linebacker named Will something, just completely wrecked him. He had like 20 tackles and six sacks. And Mac didn't, like, we thought it was just like the Senior Bowl. You're not allowed to blitz. And turns out you were. And I told the referee, what are you doing here? They're blitzing us. What are you going to do about it? And then he looks at me and goes, what are you going to do about it? And I knew we were in trouble. Yeah, and then the guy goes, what? I can't believe he didn't know there was a blitz. Yeah. He didn't know there's blitzes. How could you not know this?
No.
Yeah, that was excellent, man. That was, you know, I missed those calls. But, you know, honestly, since, you know, he's kind of a local kid, and I know a lot of people are saying, you know, Miami's number 10, but they haven't really played anybody. Do you think North Carolina surprises them this weekend and beats them, or do you think Miami comes out on top?
Oh, I think North Carolina kicks their ass.
It's so really good. Actually, this is one of the best games of the weekend. It should be. You got a high-flying offense with North Carolina. Not very good defense. Miami is kind of flying under the radar a little bit right now.
They suck.
What are you, in your objective opinion, how nervous are you of...
Oh, you're talking to
is
me
this
now.
Is this at Miami?
Yeah, it's at home.
So Miami's going to be a favorite of probably six or
three
less.
Points. Stripper polls will be up. So, yep.
What do you think, Dell?
Big advantage with the stripper pole.
It wouldn't be a big upset. I mean, it's not going to be a big upset.
No, the Miami's favored by three. Are you finished or do not you?
Yeah,
Lance,
he's finished. Oh, he's finished with his.
I don't know what he wants.
Slander.
Yeah. As far as the actual game is concerned, yes. The thing I would point to if you have North Carolina hopes is North Carolina is not the same. Most teams aren't, but that offense isn't the same on the road, and their defense is much worse. You look at some of their numbers. They gave up 44 to Virginia on the road, and they lost to Florida State on the road. They're not the same team. You get them off that turf at UNC. And this is a team, despite the hype, despite being the number 17 team in the country, still doesn't have a signature win in Mac Brown's 2 years there. Their best win is the close loss to Clemson. So this is a big one for them. It's an Orange Bowl appearance on the line for one of these two teams. If both ACC title game participants make the CFP. I do like Miami in this one because, you talked about, they kind of been ignored. They lost to UNC last year, and they know if you win this game, you're probably you might be playing a home game for your bowl game.
North Carolina really does struggle defensively. I mean, they give up big plays. Miami's got a running game that can hit a big play. Miami has some defense.
And they have a mobile quarterback that UNC has struggled with. Maybe not just direct quarterback called runs, but you saw Ian Book make multiple plays out of the pocket just because they couldn't contain him. And they've had issues with that. I think Miami wins. They haven't been at home. They haven't played a home game in like 60 days because of cancellations and road games.
Miami had?
Yeah, they haven't played. They haven't played a road game in probably around almost 2 months now. I think somewhere around there. I like Miami. I like them by a touchdown. I think it could be a blowout in Miami's favor because I don't know if UNC can handle Miami's ends. Quincy Roche and Jalen Phillips are really good.
Are Carter and Williams healthy?
They're gonna play. They're good. That's the balance that UNC needs.
Yeah.
But Miami has done a better job recently holding teams way below their average on the football.
This is the best. Well, you look at this.
Yeah. You look at this. I mean, look, Sam Howell's a good quarterback. He's tough this year. He's got 26 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
That's the best.
They can run the ball. They got a really good offense.
A&M, that might be the best. But listen to these numbers.
Ready? Boston College sacked them 4 times. FSU sacked them 4 times. Virginia sacked them 5 times. Notre Dame sacked them 6 times. They'll hang on to the ball a little bit, and their offensive line is just not good enough against Miami's front. So you're going to see a sack total of 4-plus for sure by Miami. So I think when it's all said and done, you know, the more I think about it, I mean, it's – you know, I'm sitting here talking myself into Miami for sure, but I do think North Carolina is going to score, but I don't see any reason why Miami can't.
Yeah, Miami will. North Carolina gives up points. They give up so many points, particularly on the road. I think Miami wins, but it'll be maybe the best game of the day. You look at the schedule. As far as ranked opponents, there's not a lot of them. In fact, we've seen games get canceled. But I think this might be the best game of the day. But I do think Miami wins. But
they gave up 31 to Notre Dame, 53 to Wake. They gave up 44 to Virginia. This is North Carolina.
45 to Virginia Tech.
45 to Virginia Tech. 21 NC State. 31 to FSU. Boston College and Syracuse. So,
yeah
it's that. But I am looking forward to it. There's some talent, like you mentioned. There's a lot of love for Williams from North Carolina.
Yep, we'll see. Williams and Carter.
Carter is the love.
And sometimes, I'm telling you, that combination, it's really, really good. I think A&M might be a little bit better. A-Chain has come on as well, and obviously – Spiller is awesome. So, but that combination, this is the best that Miami will have faced this year. While you're doing that, that's all I'm thinking about is Gulf Coast Chevy.
Well, and Gulf Coast Chevy is the reason why I'm here talking about trucks and SUVs and vehicles right now. They have employee pricing in December, which is just, it legitimately is the exact same price that employees pay. And it's for a ton of vehicles in stock right now. Buick, GMC, Chevy. Like, this is one of those awesome times in December where you get to take advantage of employee pricing and cash back allowances. So it's a double bubble for you. And there are vehicles out there that, like the Chevy Silverado, there's a brand new Buick that's on the market that they are also a crossover that they also have the cash back allowance and the employee pricing. You don't want to miss out on this. And this is the time to get these new vehicles before the end of the year, because the deals they're giving to, you know, to open up some spot on the lots so that they can bring in the newer vehicles. It's a great opportunity for you. It truly is. And I'm not just saying that. If you go to the website at LanceZCars.com, you will get to their website, and they're out in Angleton, and they're ready to make deals. And they're ready to make deals, whether it is on the phone, over the phone with you. Maybe it's going to be something through their website with their chat function. They can do the entire sales process right there for you. They give you top value for your vehicle, and the car buying experience before, during, and after is top notch. Make sure that you go to LanceZCars.com and take advantage of these amazing offers.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.